Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our Old Testament reading from 1 Kings chapter 3. And this morning we're going to focus on verse 9. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? Let's pray together. Lord God, Heavenly Father, again, how wonderful it is to gather to hear your word, the word of your Son, Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit to work through this word, to work faith in our hearts and love in our lives. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Happy New Year, everyone. And it is a Happy New Year, right? Because 2020 is behind us, right? In the words of the famous SNL sketch, bye-bye, right? We're looking forward to face a new year, and we're looking forward to new hope in this year, a lot of good stuff, hopefully, that's going to come. And of course, we look forward to new resolutions, right? There's just something about the start of a new year that we just want to start something new. You know, many of us focus on our health, some of us focus on our finances or relationships, and even those who focus on my New Year's resolution is to not make any New Year's resolutions. Oh yeah, you just want to start something new in the new year. But the thing is that when you start something new, you look for advice. You look for knowledge, right? You look for wisdom. You see, you want that wisdom. You want to know what's best. You want to know what's good so that when you start something new, you can finish what you started. You want the best health advice. You want the best knowledge about finances. You want that wisdom that comes so that your relationships are good. Yes, we seek wisdom at the beginning of each new year. But you know what? I think it's more than just the beginning of each new year. I think this is just how we live our lives. Every day, we seek wisdom so that we can face our life, so that we can face the challenges in our life. You know, we want to be the best spouse, the best parent or grandparent. We want to be the best student. We want to be the best coworker. We want to have the right knowledge and insight, even in, say, politics or even in church. We are trying to figure out just the best way forward in ministry. Yeah, we want to be able to discern what's right, what's wrong, what's good, and what's not so good. So seeking wisdom, it's not just a New Year's thing, it's something we do all our lives, and it's a good thing, right? We want to grow, we want to gain insights, we want to gain knowledge, we want to gain experience. And yet seeking wisdom has its limitations. For instance, seeking wisdom can make you proud. See, as you gain more knowledge and insight and wisdom and experience, you start noticing, I really know a lot. And then you start looking at someone else. They don't know what you know. Now, this could be an occasion to teach them, but it can also be an occasion to say, I know this, therefore I'm better than them. So there's pride. Another limitation is that the quest for wisdom can be never-ending. You gain as much knowledge and insight and experience, and the next thing you know, you start asking yourself, do I know enough? Am I wise enough? And gaining wisdom and knowledge can become an idol in and of itself. But I think the greatest limitation to seeking wisdom is that you and I are fallible. It's one of the stories I love to tell, even though it's kind of a sad story. I've told it sometimes before, but it's very appropriate because this concerns a member, And one of my former congregations out in Southern California who came to me with a whopper of a dilemma. He had a brother who had gotten sick and was in the hospital and took a turn for the worst and was essentially on life support. And the doctor had told him, even if he comes out, there's not going to be anything there. So he was actually urging him to consider pulling the plug. And he came to me because he was distraught about that decision. He didn't know what to do. He knew that his brother was a believer. He knew that should he die, he would be in heaven with Jesus, awaiting the resurrection. He knew he would end his suffering. And yet, he was worried more about God. He was worried more about pulling the plug and God looking at him and saying, "You murderer." And he didn't know what to do. And you and I don't always know what to do either. We aren't always able to discern what is right or wrong. We aren't always able to tell what is good and what is evil. But if there was anyone in all of history that was able to do this, that was wise, it was Solomon. In fact, Solomon was known as one of the wisest kings ever. There's an example of this right after our text, in which Solomon is sitting on his throne, and he's judging the people, and two prostitutes are dragged before him, and one has a complaint against the other. "We both had children, infant children, but that one, she accidentally rolled over on her child in sleep, and it died. But then she came in the dead of night and took my child as her own, and she claims that, no, that child that was dead next to me, that's your child." And the other one was saying, "No, no, no, this is my child. That's the way it happened." And Solomon's like, "Well, what should I do? What's right here? What's wrong?" And so he simply says, "Bring me a sword." And he says, "Cut this baby in half and give one half to one mother and the other half to the other mother." And instantly, the mother whose child was living said, "No, please don't do that. Give it to the other woman." But the other woman said, "No, fine, cut the child in half." And Solomon said, "Give the child to the first mother. That is her child." Very wise, mind-blowing wisdom. But it was not always that way. In fact, here in our text, Solomon goes up to Gibeon, offers sacrifices to the Lord at night and promptly falls asleep and meets the Lord in a dream. And God asks him, "What do you want? I'll give it to you." And Solomon launches into this praise of the steadfast faithfulness of the Lord to his father David, to the people that he was ruling over, and that steadfast faithfulness was now coming to Solomon. But then he admits, "I'm only a child. I don't know how to go in. I don't know how to go out. Who can rule these people?" In fact, Solomon admits his lack of wisdom, his lack of discernment, his lack of knowledge between good and evil. And so he asks God for it. And God gives it to him as an act of grace. The same grace that he had shown to his father David and the same grace he had shown to his people Israel. So that Solomon's wisdom was actually godly wisdom, godly discernment. No wonder Solomon was known as the wisest king in all of history, except for one man. There was one other man who was wiser than Solomon and showed that greater wisdom even at a young age. That man's name was Jesus Christ. And in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus showed incredible wisdom. Although at first it looked like this 12-year-old Jesus was acting quite foolishly. Going up to the feast of Passover, his parents are like, all right, let's go. And they think he's just among all his relatives going back to Nazareth. And nope, he's not there. So they hightail it back to Jerusalem. And what do they see? Jesus is in the temple showing great wisdom. He's actually schooling the chief priests and the scribes and the teachers of the law. He's showing greater knowledge than they even have, and they're astonished. But his parents don't care. They're like, what do you think you're doing? We were worried sick about you. And then Jesus shows even more wisdom. Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? You see, Jesus was wiser than Solomon because Jesus was the Son of God. He was God himself. He was David's greater son. In fact, he would later declare that even though Solomon was this fantastic, wonderful, wise king, something greater than Solomon is here in me. In Jesus. You see, God's wisdom was revealed in Jesus Christ. And when it's revealed at first, it looks foolish. Jesus, a teacher, hanging out with sinners and outcasts, taking the humble and exalting them, having table fellowship with them, welcoming them, loving on them, and then humbling the exalted, taking the self-righteous and the puffed up proud people and leveling them to the ground. And when he does that, it produces the most foolish act of all when Jesus is nailed to a cross. Bleeding and dying, the Son of God in the flesh, 100% innocent, 100% sinless, punished like a common criminal. But what looks evil to us is for our good. What looks foolish is God's wisdom. What looks like a dead end is actually a new beginning for all people. When Jesus declares, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. When Paul declares that Jesus on the cross became a curse for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. When Jesus gives new life, new hope, a new beginning for proud, unwise sinners like you and me. So I sat there looking at this member as he's telling me his dilemma about his brother, and I'm like, what do I say? What wisdom do I give him? What knowledge, what insight, as if that's going to be better than anyone else? Well, God, thank God, gave me the words to say. And I told him, you know, God does not judge you based on whether you make the right decisions in life. He judges you solely because of his son, Jesus. And therefore, your relationship with God is 100% secure in him. He made his decision. And I don't need to tell you that, but he finally had the peace to go and make that decision. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I think one of the wisest things that you and I can do in the new year is to acknowledge our lack of wisdom and trust in the godly wisdom that he reveals in Jesus Christ. You see, we can confess that knowledge puffs up, that our wisdom and insight and experience can actually make us proud, but then we can trust that love builds up, the love that God shows us in Jesus Christ. You know, we can acknowledge our never-ending quest for wisdom and how it can become our God, but then we can trust in the never-ending, never-changing grace that Jesus shows us. You know, we can confess that we don't always know what's good and what's bad. And more often than not, we choose what is evil. But that's when we can trust that because of Jesus, our evil is forgiven and his goodness is ours. So as we face this new year, as we face whatever new resolutions we have been making, or whatever new challenges we're going to be facing in 2021, I pray that you and I face it with the same foolishness that God reveals in Jesus Christ. That foolishness of the Son of God dying on a cross for sinners like you and me. Foolishness that God gives you and me a new beginning in Jesus Christ. So happy New Year, and in Jesus, it always will be. Amen.